The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. You will no doubt be noticing, if you're one of the hardcores that shows up in the premiere on the YouTube page, you're like, hold on, where the hell is the podcast? Well, today there was a press conference for the big pay-per-view this weekend, and we thought perhaps there would be some very, very funny moments to break down, to discuss some high tension, some drama, some zingers, some one-liners. But we were wrong, Lewis.
There was nothing. There's nothing, nothing interesting, nothing notable. We pushed this podcast back hours and making it come out a full day late just because we didn't want to miss anything. And it was for absolutely no reason.
Studious. That's what we are. When it comes to podcasting, we're very studious and we don't want to be outdated with what we're saying. So we thought we might have seen something. Listen, you know, there's two trains of thought. Some people might say the fights themselves. Sell themselves, and they do. Listen, they're tremendous fights this weekend, and some people like a bit of drama. And we thought maybe, I'll be honest, with Nunes and Megan Anderson, I didn't really expect much there. I thought Megan might, you know, get a little cocky. I thought we'd get a little bit from Aljo and Piotr Jan, which we did, but I was really expecting Izzy to talk some shit, you know.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this much. Watching the press conference, I did get more excited. It did its job, right? Because it sort of reminds you, it's like, oh shit, these are really big fights. They are great fights. Seeing everybody on stage at the same time, all three title holders and challengers facing off, it did sort of get you in the mood for the fights. So at the very, you know, they just had to tap it in. They didn't have to have any
just
fireworks.
Just tap it in.
Just little, tappy tap.
A little tap tappy. A little tip tap a Rooney.
And you that's all they do.
Home.
They tapped it in, and I think it was fine.
Yeah, no. When I said I thought Izzy would talk shit, I didn't mean that he's like some disrespectful guy. What I mean is, you know, the guy's very, very confident. He's 20-0. So I thought we might get some shenanigans, and it's always fun.
Right.
Obviously, Jan Blachowicz is a very, very humble guy. So and it's not his first language either. And certainly for Piotr Jan, it's definitely not his first language. He did most of his press conference through a translator, even though I think he has a pretty decent command of the English language. Just some people, when it's their second language, they even if they have a translator, they'll still prefer to use it. I know a jiu-jitsu coach of mine used to do that. I'm like, what are you doing? You can speak English. But, you know, they're on a big stage. They get a little intimidated. So, yeah, listen, the fights sell themselves. You know, Izzy is a spectacular fighter, and Jan Blachowicz is, you know, and Jan is more of a quiet, strong, stoic.
Ooh, personal jinx. God. You owe me a Coke.
Fucking stoic Miocic. No, stoic Blachowicz. No, he is. You know, I tell you what, when they squared up, the height difference wasn't as big as what I thought it was. It's only 2 inches, but still, when they squared up side by side, they looked pretty tall. Pretty even.
Who are you talking about?
Blachowicz and Israel.
Yeah, Izzy. Yeah, Izzy's so tall. Because we've been talking about the size advantage to Jan, but it's not really, I mean, it's definitely going to have a little bit of a weight advantage. He's definitely a bigger guy. He cuts down to 205. And is there a rumor that he's going to weigh like less than 200 pounds?
Yeah, that's what they always say. That's what I've heard many, many times. He doesn't cut weight realistically for 185. A few pounds isn't cutting weight per se. He apparently doesn't get much heavier than that. So
we'll see what happens. I mean,
we will.
Yeah, I mean, it did get me excited. Izzy had to, there was interesting moments, you know, when he sort of admitted that he is looking past Jan, and then he had to stop himself and be like, not that I'm looking past Jan, and my eyes are right on Jan, but I, you know, just I'm taking a peek into the future.
Yeah.
So there was those moments. You can sort of tell he kind of is looking past him a little bit. We'll see if that's a mistake.
Well, listen, it's a tough fight. It's a tough fight for both of them. This is what I've said all along, you know. And a lot of people, whenever I don't jump on the bandwagon of Conor McGregor or Izzy or whatever, they always, oh, business jealous or whatever. So what are you talking about? My days are done. I root for them as a fan. What I recognize, though, is that this is a fucking awesome fight, a tremendous fight, and they're both champions in their own right. So therefore, I say it's a tough fight for both of them because stylistically, Israel Adesanya has the range. He has the speed and he has the skill. He has the skill in terms of striking, in terms of feints and movements and setting things up and the variety of strikes as well. But Błachowicz has the perfect style to counter that. He's a forward pressure fighter. He's the bigger guy, not in height, but in terms of all over stature. He's a much bigger man. He's a thicker man. So he needs to go forward, close that distance and take away the reach and the speed and all that type of thing from Adesanya. What if you do that and you get it in his face? That favors Jan big time. But if Izzy can keep him at bay with his kicks, with his jabs, with his speed, footwork, there's a million different ways of doing it. But if he can do that, then it favors Izzy. So that's why it's a great fight on both sides. And I can't fucking wait for it.
I most of the time, 99% of the time, unless I have like an emotional connection with the fighter, I've been a fan of the fighter for a long time. I know him personally. They come on the show. Most of the time I'm rooting for the underdog. It's just the classic Rocky story. Who's rooting for the guy that's got it all, you know? And Bisping, I know that you know, your career, you came up. I mean, you weren't necessarily an underdog, but you just had a really long sort of hard road to that title. It wasn't easy. You had a couple tough losses that were super close, split decisions that fucking could have went either way. You know, I think do you connect with a guy like Jan more than a guy like Izzy? Just because, I mean, dude, Izzy just seems to have all of God's gifts, all the natural talent in the world. Not that he's not a hard worker, not that anything was given to him, but, a John Jones, an Israel Adesanya, a Conor McGregor, it just seems like they had an easier path than somebody like yourself or Jan Błachowicz.
Yeah, but you can't hold that against them. You're right. They did have an easier path. Of course they did. You know, Izzy came in, stayed undefeated, fucking became champion. Now he's fighting for two belts. That's without question. He fucking sailed through. It's like Dana opened the door, rolled out the red carpet, and all he had to do was walk down that carpet and there was a belt. In fact, there's two belts at the end of the carpet. Yeah. No, he didn't lose an eye. He didn't lose his knees. He didn't get the shit kicked out of him and stuff like that for many, many years and turn it around at the end. So, yeah, that's undebatable. But you have to admire what people like that, you know, there's a reason why they have it so easy. It's because they're fucking skilled. They're very good. You can't deny Adesanya's rise to power, if you will. I mean, if you look at the people that he's beaten, if you go to at Fight Club on Instagram and check out on there, there's well documented all these opponents and how he won and things like that. Check that out, by the way, Fight Club. But yeah, you can't hold that against him. Izzy did it. He did it in style. He did it fantastically, you know. Jan Błachowicz had a longer way round. He actually went through a phase. I think he'd only won. Well, he lost 4 out of 5 at one point, you know, right. But he turned it around, you know, and as they always say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, you know, and right now he's the champion of the world. So, you know, it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a good, fantastic fight.
Are you rooting for, who are you rooting for in this fight? Now I'm not saying who you're picking, who are you rooting for?
No, I can pick actually as well. I can pick.
I know.
Because I thought I was doing a thing for the UFC, so for ESPN this weekend, you know, doing the post-fight show and all that stuff. I'm not because there was slight confusion. I just got booked for the pay-per-view in March. Turns out there's 2 pay-per-views in March because the other day I didn't have any correspondence. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, no, you're on at the end of the month. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, so I'm off the hook. So that's good. So I can pick.
Job saved.
I'm like, whoa, God. Thank God. No. We'll do the picks at the end. But right. It's a tremendous fight. It is. And I like Jan. I like Jan a lot. Obviously, how can you not like him? The underdog, the guy that, you know, he... See, I found this, and I'm not trying to be big-headed and talk about myself, but I can compare myself a little bit to Jan in terms of the way he got the belt. You know what I'm saying? And I found that I get a lot of respect from people, and a lot of people appreciate the hard way I got it, which is weird. It shouldn't be that way. If someone else comes out and just blitzes it and gets it easy because they're that good, they also deserve the same amount of credit, but in a very different way. But people do resonate with a guy that
it's
that,
a
that
better
kept
movie.
Getting knocked down. Yeah,
it's a better, you know, that's it. Like the Michael Bisping story, you know, no offense to any of these guys, but it's a better movie than the Israel Adesanya movie, which is like,
I don't know. He's got a pretty good one coming from Nigeria, going to New Zealand and then coming in and taking over. It's pretty fucking good. But, yeah. But still, yeah, the press conference, it wasn't a Conor McGregor press conference, dare I say, was it a George St. Pierre Michael Bisping press conference? But, you know,
nobody was intoxicated.
Nobody was intoxicated. My biggest takeaway was that Dana there's a potential for the next pay-per-view at the end of the month that you never know. I might be going to Houston for it because, of course, Texas, as well as now 15 states, and we're not going to get into that, have rolled back the mask mandates. We're not going to get into
right.
You fucking nutters. But they've rolled that back. So straight away, Dana called and tried to get into, where was it, Dallas? They said no. But Houston apparently is on the card. So I was like, oh, shit, that'd be huge. You know, pay-per-view at the end of the month in a crowd, sold-out arena.
Sold out. I mean, give me tickets. I'll come down, baby boy. Let's bring BYM to Houston.
Ha! No!
Come on! Go.
You stay there. Satellite, baby. Satellite.
No, let me tell you something. If they're in Houston at the end of the month, if that happens, I will 100% be going. I'll buy a ticket. I don't need you, Bisping. I'll buy my own fucking ticket.
I was going to say, you'll be there by yourself. I think I'll still be from home. I'll still be working here from home, I think. I hope so. It's
oh, wait,
nice.
They wouldn't... I thought you were commentating the pay-per-view.
No, I'm not commentating. I'm doing the pre and post fight show. Often when you do the pre and post fight, just lately, they're doing it from home with ESPN. With ESPN, you do it from home. And don't get me wrong, I love a sold out crowd. I love the energy. I love the atmosphere. But I also prefer sitting on my ass and not getting on a plane and trudging through an airport like a piece of cattle, checking into a shitty hotel room, looking for coffee in the morning, using powdered fucking creamer. No, when I want creamer, I want to do it from waking up from my slumber saying, Rebecca, make me a brew. And then she brings it just the way I like it and hands me the remote control. That's the way I like to wake up. So shove your fucking Houston up your ass, baby boy.
If it happens, I'll go down there. I'll do another comedy show. My last trip to Texas was ruined by snow, which is fucking bizarre. So that they're talking about doing Ngannou versus Stipe, right?
I'm not sure what it is, UFC 260. I don't know. Harrington, maybe he knows. He's a nerd. I should know, but I focus on one fight at a time. Harrington, well, what is the next pay-per-view?
It's very hurtful. Yes, it is. It's Ngannou versus Stipe 2. There's also the featherweight championship fighters on there.
Featherweight. And what's the featherweight there, buddy boy? What's the featherweight?
How are the featherweight champions of the world?
So tell me about the featherweight champion.
It's Volkanovski versus Ortega.
That's it. Oh, so that's good. That's a stacked pay-per-view. My God. Ngannou versus Miocic in a sold-out crowd with Ortega versus Volkanovski. That'd be good. Sign me up. You know, in England, things are going to be back to normal soon. There's like fucking vaccinations galore. I'm not getting into that side of things. I'm just saying how excited I am for that. Things are slow. We're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean?
Finally. When I clap... Sorry.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say, when I clap about the mask mandate being gone in these states, the only reason I clap is not because I don't think people should wear masks. I still wear a mask. I'm saying it's just the writing is on the wall that things are back to normal. These are the big first steps when, you know, they're speaking to doctors, they're speaking to different politicians, they have different angles on all this. And, you know, the reality is society is coming back to normal. New York City is opening up live comedy shows at 33% capacity, which is it's the first time in a year that we could do live comedy in New York.
I mean, that's an increase. Used to be 25. Now it's 30.
No, there was zero. It was zero.
That's a hell of a jump.
There was no comedy clubs at all. A bunch of comedy clubs were going to sue Andrew Cuomo because they were letting restaurants open. They were letting all these different things open, but specifically not comedy clubs, live performance venues, music venues. It was very bizarre.
Yeah, the whole thing with the businesses being shut down, the small businesses especially, is absolute fucking nonsense. But anyway, no, in the UK, 90% of over 65s have had the vaccination. And 23 million people, I think, have been vaccinated in the UK. Obviously, we've only got a population of 60 million. So at this rate, what they're saying, I think it's June 12th or June 21st, everything's back to normal. DJ Mikey B's out of fucking retirement, baby boy. I'm taking bookings all over the place. I'm fucking going on a DJ tour spectacular.
Are you really going on a DJ tour?
No, I am. Seriously, I'm going to Leeds. I'm going to Magaluf. I'm going to Ibiza. I'm going to Amsterdam, Spain. I'm all over the place. DJ Mikey B, some fucking decent cash to be earned, baby. So I'm like, who am I not to take it, Lewis? Why do you think I'm brushing up my DJ skills and stuff like that all the time?
I have no idea what's going on, but I would love to go to a DJ Mikey B set in Amsterdam. Let's make it happen. Brian said, bring me to Ibiza.
Yeah, yeah. Funny enough, you want to go to the one in Amsterdam.
I go to Amsterdam. You can go to Ibiza all day, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. No, you come on to Ibiza, Brian. You can podcast the whole thing for us. So, yeah, yeah. Anyway, hopefully light at the end of the tunnel. What's going on in your world, Lewis, before we get into all these notes? I see a nice little black eye you got there, buddy. Getting your ass kicked to fat, out of shape comedians again?
No, not comedians. It's fucking, I went back to Mickey Gall's gym to the real fighter sparring, and I got humbled very, very quickly.
That'll happen. Imagine what Callum would do to you. Fucking hell, bro.
I'm ready. Dude, tell Callum I'm fucking ready. Anytime.
He's here.
I know he's here.
He's here.
Let me tell you something.
Do you know what he said?
What he said?
Do you know what he said? Callum! Callum! Hold on. I forget what he called you. Callum!
I will light Callum the fuck up. I'm sick of this shit.
He follows you on Instagram, and there was some sparring footage. I forget what he called you. He said he looks like a something something. I forget what it was. That's what I'm calling him to ask.
Let him talk all this shit.
Callum, what did you say he was? What did you say, Cal? What did you say he was?
What do you mean? What?
When you saw the sparring footage of Lewis, after he said that like he could dis... He said you look like a shuffling zombie.
A shuffling zombie? A shuffling zombie that'll fucking whoop your ass, Callum. Let's go.
A shuffling zombie. And I was like, that's a pretty good assessment. You're right, he does. Anyway, but still, let's not get into that. Let's keep it nice and cheery and upbeat and happy places.
I'm happy. I don't have any ill will toward Callum. I think it's going to look great when I fucking put a Bisping under my belt. Listen,
whoa. No. Trust me, buddy. Ain't gonna happen. But still, it's fine. It's okay. Delusion is grand. Okay, support for the Believe You Me podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and they obsess over the technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Listen, you know the drill. You're trying to shave your balls, trying to groom your intimate private areas, and more often than not, you will nick yourself with whatever device you are using. I mean, generally, if it's a beard trimmer or whatever, you're gonna nick yourself, simple as that. With the Manscaped technology, that is a thing of the past, Lewis.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've all done it. We've used the Bic. We've used our girlfriends.
Never used the Bic.
In the shower. You've never used the Bic?
Never used the Bic. Always been like fortunate enough to afford a $7.99 trimmer from CVS.
No. I've got in my past, I've said, you know what? I want it to the skin. I want to look like a baby's bottom. And that was a mistake for many reasons. But the biggest reason of all is because I have nicked myself. I have cut myself. Everyone has experienced this. It is awful. It makes you afraid to do it. And it also makes you have to take so much more time doing it. Before I had Manscaped, it would take me 30 minutes to go in with hair trimmers and make sure that I didn't hurt anything. Manscaped, 2 minutes, I'm in and out.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because you're late. We're always, we're busy men. We're successful gurus. Nobody's factoring in the time it takes to shave your balls for the day. Do you know what I'm saying? With the Manscaped, you don't need to do that. You go haphazard, go crazy. Just fucking like a maniac. Like you've had 5 bottles of whiskey behind the car of a wheel, steaming to fucking from jiu-jitsu to a podcast if you're late. That's how you can do your fucking balls. If you want to do it, that's how you can do it. And you will never, there won't even be a drop of blood. There won't be no discomfort. There'll be nothing. And guess what? You can do it in the dark. You can do it in the pool. You can do it for a long time because it's got 7
I think we need to tell people to not do it in the pool.
Well, it says it's waterproof, okay? I'm just saying, shave your balls in the pool. It'll change your fucking mind.
Look, right now, we're going to give you a pretty amazing
blow your mind. Pardon me.
It's going to blow your mind. Listen. It's going to blow your mind. You're probably going to get a blow job. You're going to blow everyone away. It's the greatest thing in the world. Go to manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com and use the promo code BISPING20 at checkout. You're going to save 20% off your Manscaped personal grooming system. Plus, you get free shipping. 20% off manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Okay, where were we?
I say we just get into these fights and then we'll do the news afterwards, because obviously Saturday is a massive pay-per-view. Everyone, if they're listening to this podcast, you're an MMA fan and you want to hear about the fights this weekend. Top of the card, Alexander Rakic is fighting Thiago Santos. I think that's the opening fight on the main card. In fact, we'll start before that. We'll start before that on Dominic Cruz versus Casey Kenny.
Okay.
Did you see Harrington? Have we got this? I should have said this before. There was a video earlier. Dominic Cruz today was talking about, what was he talking about? He was talking about, did you see it, Harrington?
Are you talking about not wanting Keith Peterson to ref his fight?
Well, there's that as well. There's that as well. So what did he say about Keith Peterson? We'll go with that. That's not what I was talking about, but that'll do. Okay, you saved me there.
I might have a thing for your other thing for Cruz, but he was saying, I believe this was yesterday, he said that he had reached out to the Nevada State Athletic Commission asking them not to make Keith Peterson the referee for his fight. If you remember during the Cejudo fight, he had made claims Peterson smelled like alcohol and cigarettes. He said that Peterson was having a hard time explaining the rules to him in the back, and that there was certain cognition issues there. So he didn't feel very safe getting into the cage with Peterson calling the action. He said that Nevada State typically waits until the day of to make the assignments, but he did put an official request that not be the referee for his fight.
I mean, I don't want to talk shit about Cruz. I work with him. I like the guy. He's a very successful fighter and he's tremendous at what he does. And he's a smart guy. He knows the fight game, but just let it go. Just, you know what I mean? I understand he's doubling down on his opinion and what he thought on the night. And listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, you know, but it's just let it go. I mean, listen, yeah, it's your prerogative, it's your right to say I don't want that guy refereeing. You can't actually, did we have this conversation last week? We didn't. All right, good.
We did speak on it.
But I don't think we went into this, but anyway, you can ask. So you can say, I don't want him refereeing, because you might have a personal issue with somebody. Let's say you're walking through the MGM Grand Casino and the fights are on there. If it was fucking 5 years ago or whatever, you walk through the MGM Grand and it's a Tuesday night. You see the referees, had a few drinks. You get into an altercation. You have an argument. Well, of course, you don't want that guy refereeing your fight, because now you've had an argument. There's personal history there. And who knows? Maybe he makes a call just to be a dickhead, just to mess with you. So I understand that.
Even just forget that. I mean, the fact that even if Cruz doesn't really believe that he was drunk and he was making excuses, right? Now, at this point, Cruz is sort of poisoned the well. So if I'm Keith Peterson, I'm like, fuck Dominic Cruz. If I'm refereeing his fight, I'm definitely being more critical, because he was sort of a piece of shit to me after that last fight.
Well, I don't think it was Keith Peterson. But somebody today on Twitter, there was a Dominic Cruz has requested that Keith Peterson doesn't referee his fight. And then there's a fake Keith Peterson Twitter account that came back and said, don't worry, I don't referee prelim fights.
Wow.
Which is pretty funny. Come on. Now, I know it's a parody account, but still it made me laugh. Listen, Cruz has got a tough fight on his hand here. Casey Kenny. I can't say I know Casey Kenny like the back of my hand, but I do know he's got a great record. He's 17-2. He's beaten some good guys. He's a high-level judo guy, like multiple time, represented America at high-level international judo multiple times. Okay, judo isn't something that necessarily crosses over too well, but what it does do is give you strong hips and a strong lower back. So that's important. Also, he was multiple time state champion wrestler. That is beneficial in mixed martial arts. And, you know, he's dealt with people like Nathaniel Wood. Nathaniel Wood is a young fighter out of England, very fast, very good, good striking, a polished guy. I actually thought he'd be a champion, and Casey Kenny was able to beat him. And I think, having to just confirm, Cruz is coming into this one as an underdog, which I got to say, that does surprise me. It does surprise me if you look at the body of work that Dominic Cruz has had. However, he's lost his last two now, lost to Cejudo 4 years ago, lost to Cody Garbrandt, got decision there, but it was clear. But you just, when you say he's lost his last two, I mean, they were 4 years apart. You know, the guy just hasn't been very active. The one thing that does trouble me for Dominic, though, is that he's getting older. I think he's 35 or 36 now. At those light weight classes, you know, bantam weight classes, should I say, he relies on speed. I don't know how old Casey Kenny is, but I'm going to go out on a limb, Lewis, and assume that he's very much younger.
Yeah, I'm looking. He's 29 years old, actually celebrating a birthday in a couple weeks as well. Yeah, he's got mainly wins by decision and submission, a couple knockouts. I mean, yeah, look, it's going to be – it's like a changing the guard fight, you know, and we'll see. I mean, this fight is an opportunity to showcase Casey Kenney. If he beats Dominic Cruz, he's a guy that everybody's talking about. But Dominic Cruz has to sort of prove that he can hang with this younger, new breed of fighters, right? So it's actually, when you really think of it that way, it's actually a great matchup.
Oh, it's a fantastic matchup. It's a great matchup. And I respect Dominic for taking it, but Dominic is under pressure in this fight. Right, because if he is the Dominic Cruz, if he is the dominator, right, that he was known and loved for being, if he is truly one of the pound for pound best or one of the best in the weight class, with respect to Casey Kenney, who is a great fighter, doesn't have that name recognition, the fan recognition that just instantly rolls off your tongue. He's not at the forefront of everybody's minds when you're thinking UFC, right? So therefore, Dominic, that puts Dominic in a tough place. He's got to go out there and dominate this guy. He's got to beat him. He's got to hopefully get a finish and say to the world, hey, look, motherfuckers, I told you, Henry Cejudo did not beat me. Keith Peterson fucked up, and that's a reminder there. That's how good I am. That guy's good. He's got a great record. I just smoked him. But if he doesn't, even if he loses a close decision, you know, the narrative won't be, well, he lost a close decision and that kid is good. It'll be, wow, he lost to someone on the prelims. You know what I mean?
Even
and
if
that's
he wins
just
a close
the reality
decision.
Of how brutal the sport can be.
Even if he wins a close decision, I feel like that's sort of the narrative. Right. I think he does need to kind of come out and smoke Casey Kenney. If he wants to be the Dominic Cruz, the legend, the guy who's coming out for another run at the title. Yeah, he's got to come out and smoke Casey Kenney. Nobody was talking about Casey Kenney being next in line for a title shot, right? So this is sort of like, I don't know, it's sort of a test as well to see if he can actually be dominating. And I think he does need to do that in order to sort of, you know, make a real statement on Saturday night.
Yeah, sorry, I was just laughing because he had that whole thing, didn't he, with Megan Anderson recently, you know. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I wonder if there's going to be any interactions. I wonder if they see each other fight week. Because it's not like, as I said before, in usual times when Vegas is popping, you know, the strip is packed, there's UFC fans everywhere, fighters can't walk through the casino without getting mobbed and hassled. Right now, they're just in the old Residence Inn off Dean Martin Drive. It's not a big fucking hotel. Do you know what I mean? They've got a gym with two treadmills. Do you know what I mean? And like a very, very amateur weight setup. Although if you know what you're doing like me, you can still get a solid workout in, Lewis. But still, yeah. The point remains, there's a possibility that they bumped into one another. And I'm sure Megan, you know, doesn't hold any ill will. But I would have liked to have been there.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, probably. You have to assume. I'm also assuming that UFC staffers would set things up to where they weren't crossing paths too often because they had that weird thing. But, I mean, look, it's just not that big of a deal. That got blown up a little bit bigger than it needed to be. He made a dumb comment about a
coworker. He was joking with the boys as well, just like we do on here. Like, right? Yeah. Me and you, we're joking. We're being silly. Harrington comes on. He says something moronic. Therefore, it lowers our IQ a little bit. You know, then Brian comes on and it raises it a little bit. Then Harrington comes back on and we go even stupider. And then we say something dumb, you know. But to your point, as you said, the UFC, they are very proactive in terms of if anyone has a beef, or anything like that. Not that they have a beef, they don't. But they're pretty good at keeping people away. Like if I was fighting somebody and I had an issue with them, or maybe just someone on the fight card that was a well-known issue, they'll make sure to put us at the opposite ends of the hotel or on separate floors or whatever. You know what I mean? Just to make sure we don't bump into each other. Of course, it's not foolproof. It does happen on occasion.
Side note, what the fuck happened with your little bromance with Luke Rockhold this week?
Oh, shit.
What the hell was that? I've been trashing Luke Rock. I don't even know this guy. The amount of bad shit I've said about this guy. Now you're just buddy buddy with him. You're playing with his dog. You're hugging him. You're kissing him on the neck.
What do you want me to do, Lewis? Do you know what I mean? It's like that ship has sailed, bud. I'm retired. I don't hold any animosity, any ill will. I don't harbor ill feelings about the guy. No, listen. I half expected Luke to be there. You know, I went into the gym and there he was. I was like, oh, here we go. And anyway, what do? You laugh about it. You can be awkward about it. That, and anyone listening, if you've kind of got like a weird tension with somebody, you can either be weird about it or you can laugh about it. And if you laugh about it, most of the time, the other person will reciprocate it. And then it's done. You forget about it. And I saw him there and I walked over and then, you know, we exchanged a little hug, whatever. How are you doing? Perillo actually got that on his camera.
I was watching Perillo's story as well. I was going back and forth between your story and Perillo's story to get the whole picture.
But then I saw some little dog running around the fucking place. And I'm just saying, Luke, no offense, like, you don't bring a dog into a sterile area. They're filthy animals. I'm just saying. Certainly not the Rookie Gym. It's beautiful white. All right. If that dog takes a shit or a piss, you're going to see it.
So you're not saying you have any problems with Luke Rockhold anymore, but you're just saying he sort of broke some unspoken gym
rules. I'm just saying
rules.
I don't have a problem with that fucking dog. Okay, we got a real issue. Nah. So I saw this dog and then I figured out it was Luke. So I was just joking. I'm going to steal this dog. He was great. He had a good sense of humor about it all. It was fine. It was done. And that's that, you know.
Most friendly you guys have been to each other since the fight? And because it's been a sort of some public spats, some little nasty comments made here and there. But I don't know. I don't know how often you guys interact.
No, not too often. But obviously, DC. I'm friends with DC and obviously Luke and DC are close. So I remember once last year, Raleigh, North Carolina, we were commentating there, me and DC, and he called me up. He said, oh, I've got a sponsor in town. He's a loaded guy. He's taking us out. Mike, we're going to have the best time. We're going to have a great time. We're going to take you to the best restaurants, tables after everything. You know, you got to come. You got to come. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm good because I know what I'm like. I'm a fucking psycho. Don't put me in that environment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I will not be turning up for commentary on Saturday. I'll be in the beef or Amsterdam going fucking psycho. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And then later on, he FaceTimed me. He was with Rockhold. Fucking asshole. That would have been the most awkward evening ever for him and for me. Or we would have just laughed about it like grown men.
Or you guys might end up being best friends. That's what happened to you and George Masvidal, is you guys ended up sharing a car together. Then all of a sudden, you guys are buddy-buddy.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you got to be. But, you know, it's funny. That went viral. That went bloody everywhere. Everyone reposted it. So, yeah. Fair play. All the best, Luke. Hopefully, we'll see him fighting again. I don't know. Who knows? First fight on the main card. Well, Askarov, actually, on the undercard, taking on Joseph Benavidez. Not going to break that down. I know Askarov is a tremendous grappler. Benavidez, one of the best guys not to win a world title, and I would be remiss if we didn't give him a little shout-out. So wishing you all the best, Joseph Benavidez. It's a tricky fight, that one, and certainly for Benavidez, coming off two stoppages back-to-back off Deiveson Figueiredo. You know, it's a tough fight, but it's one that he can win. It really is. He's just getting on a bit, you know. But as I say, one of the best fights. Yeah. Fighters never to win a UFC belt.
And we're also learning that Figueiredo is just an absolute animal. You know, so losing to him, it's, you know, there's really no shame in that at all. So,
Yeah. As you say, it's almost like, you know, that's almost like something you say to, like, what do you call it? Like a consolation comment. Oh, but he's an animal. But it's true. Honestly, I know Brandon Moreno went to a draw, but that was because Deiveson got a point taken off. But I don't see anybody taking that belt off Deiveson Figueiredo anytime soon. Anyway, main card, Alexander Rakic, Thiago Santos. Fuck me. What a fight. That's an insane fight because Alexander Rakic, by the way, spoke to me last week. If he wins, well, he said he'll come on the podcast after the fight. I'm assuming that's if he wins. I'm assuming if Thiago Santos has his way and adds another knockout to his resume and Rakic goes back to fucking Sweden or Amsterdam or wherever the hell he's from, broken, bloody, battered, bruised. I doubt he's jumping on and shooting the shit with us on Monday. Yeah, Serbia. Thank you, Harrington.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, did you ever do an interview after a loss with any sort of publication?
I think I did, but this was obviously before podcasting. You know what I mean? Doing an interview is one thing. You know, like back in the day, they come up and they have the little what do you call them? The little dictaphone. The little recording of devices.
And like an MP3 recorder.
Yeah, but you know they're called dictaphones or something. But whatever. And back in the day, they'd hold that. Oh, so Michael, just asked you a few questions about the fire. How did you feel in there? You know, but now with podcasting, now if you're doing an interview these days, it's all on video for the most part. You know what I mean?
And it's also long form. Like back in the day, you do like a media scrum, you do like little 4 or 5 minute interviews, you get little clips here and there.
Yeah.
It was very like specific. It was very controlled. Now you come on a podcast.
You got to go on and people are going to look at you and they see black eye. I mean, I wouldn't be seen dead on a podcast with a black eye because it just says to the world what an absolute little pussy you are. That another human being can go out there and do that to you.
I look like a fucking badass. The chicks love it. My chick was like, oh my God, I love when you have a black eye. It's the best. I was like, that's right.
Okay.
It's true.
But I'm sure it is. I don't think you're lying to me. I mean,
you look like a fucking, like you've been through war. That's why women are attracted to you. Do you think
I look sexy as fuck? Look at that fucking, the scab is slowly going.
I'm telling you right now, women like scars. They like fucking the big ugly cauliflower ears. They love all that shit.
Do you really feel that you have to tell me this? At 42 years old and living and looking like this my entire life. That's why I was like, I'm not disagreeing with you, Lewis. I'm well aware of this phenomenon. No, Rakic, who's the favorite in that, Harrington? Let's have a look. Did he put it in the notes? I'm not sure. But still, it's a good bloody fight. Who's the favorite on that, Harrington?
I'm pulling up right now.
Rakic and Santos.
Santos is a minus. I'm sorry, Santos plus 120, Rakic minus 150 favorite.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's what I thought. To be honest, I thought Rakic is, he's got a lot of momentum right now. Had that big win over Anthony Smith. Santos is dangerous though. Obviously, he's coming back after the last time we saw him was against John Jones, where he blew out all his knee. And
that was the last time he fought.
I believe so. Yeah, so he's coming back. Obviously, his knee will be fine. His knee will be fine. And mentally, there's nothing to overcome. But he's had a little bit of a break. You know, it's been, when was that? I think it was the start of last year, right?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. He lost to Glover.
Glover. Okay. Yeah. All right. Still, whatever. But yeah, good fight. Fantastic fight for the main card. Alexander Rakic. I'm going to go out on a limb and say right now, I think Rakic gets it done. I think he's got more ways to get it done. I think he's got a tremendous chin. He hits very fucking hard as well. But he's more well-rounded. Santos is just, I mean, if Santos connects with you, you're going to go to sleep, or you're going to go down. He hits incredibly hard, but I just feel that Rakic has less miles on the clock and I feel he has more ways to win and he's probably a bigger guy. In fact, he will be a bigger guy. He's massive.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming in with a lot of momentum, super powerful, and it's almost like another changing of the guard sort of fight, right? I mean, Santos has been around for so long. How long has he been fighting in the UFC?
I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not sure if I'd put him in that. I wouldn't say changing of the guard. He has been there for a long time, though. He's definitely a mainstay. And he's been with the UFC for a long time. But he's not like, a Shogun or a Rashad or a DC. In fact,
those are two guards ago.
Yeah. Multiple guards, passing guards all over the place. Big news yesterday or today, I think it was Overeem and Junior Dos Santos.
I know.
Go by the promotion. Yeah, there's a real changing of the guard, and it's a shame, but
crazy. It's almost crazy. Only because I'll say the UFC's heavyweight division. I know the last episode we went on a whole tirade about all the new young talent that's coming up in the heavyweight division, but I still feel like it is sort of one of their thinnest divisions in terms of stars, in terms of contenders. I just feel like Alistair Overeem, Junior Dos Santos, those are always two guys that are bringing crazy exciting fights. They're never in a boring fight. They're absolute stars. They're legends in their own right. I'm just very surprised that the UFC let them go, only because they're heavyweights. I know that they're both on skids right now, but in the heavyweight division, I feel like they could use more star power.
Agreed. I agree with what you're saying. And they do have a crop of young, up-and-coming talent. Like we said, the Dorcas, the Aspinalls, Tanner Bowsers. There's a lot of good talent coming up. But the reality is, though, he has been stopped 4 times in a row now. His last 4 fights, he's been knocked out, And guys like Junior Dos Santos and certainly Alistair Overeem, they command a hefty price tag. I know a long time ago, Alistair Overeem was getting paid $800,000 a fight. I don't have his record in front of me. I saw Junior's. He's lost 4 in a row, 4 stoppages. Wow. And I don't think that Overeem's probably not far behind him. When you're paying through the nose, when you're paying a high premium like that for a guy like that, and they can't get the job done and they can't win fights, and you got to pay them, a massive amount of money, it's business, unfortunately. And I think also maybe you know, as you just mentioned, the changing of the guard, that is happening. You know, all these classic guys that we know and we love that built the sport of mixed martial arts, they're all going to be gone soon. Anderson's gone. Daniel Cormier's gone. You know, there's a few of those old school guys still around, like a Shogun Hua. But again, he's not going to be around for much longer. You know what I'm saying? The Nogueira brothers are gone. Who else? I mean, you fucking name it. All the old school guys.
Yeah.
You know, they can't stick around forever. And I think the UFC, rather than just putting them in another fight where they're going to pay through the fucking nose, whereas they've been knocked out four times in a row, therefore their drawing power is still diminished. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So therefore they might not get the return. It sounds harsh. It does. And I'm a fan of Junior. Junior was always one of my favorite fighters. Massive fan of Alistair Overeem. I would love to see them fight again. I wish they still had the jobs. I'm just saying I kind of get it a little bit.
Did they ever fight each other?
I'm not sure, but I was shocked. I'll be honest, though, I was still shocked.
Yeah, just when I heard it was at once, both at once, it was like, whoa. But then you sort of look at the four in a row for Junior. That sort of makes sense. You know, we'll see what's going to happen. I mean, I obviously Bellator's out there. Bare Knuckle FC, I'm sure, is going to make a play for both of those guys because they're big, huge UFC heavyweights, and they got deep pockets right now. So we'll see what happens.
I doubt Overeem would go do that. Maybe Junior, but Overeem shouldn't do that. You know, and I don't think Dos Santos should do it either. But still, listen, at the end of the day, you got to earn money. And if that's what you do and that's your trade and that's what you're built for and that's what you've done your entire fucking life and you've got nothing else, then yeah, you're right. Maybe we will see them in a Bellator or a bare knuckle or whatever.
I mean, how many times have you bare knuckle fought in a bathroom somewhere for free, Bisping?
Yeah.
You just do it for $1 million.
I'd fucking do it in $1 million right fucking now. Okay, so Thiago Santos. I'm looking through these notes. Fuck that. Let's just get into these three title fights. Let's start with, okay. Who was it? It was the first one. Aljo versus Piotr Jan. I don't want to say striker versus grappler because it's not that simple, but it kind of is in some ways in terms of how they're going to win. If Aljamain Sterling is going to win this fight, he's going to out-wrestle him, he's going to get into the floor, and he's going to try and look for a submission or control time. If Piotr Jan's going to win, he's going to do it by maintaining separation and using his striking. Piotr Jan's competent on the floor. You know what I mean? Everyone is at that level of the game. You know, you're stupid if you don't dedicate a certain percentage of your training each week to grappling and jujitsu and wrestling. But he likes to strike. Aljamain, same thing. Aljamain's a good striker. He's got an excellent jab. He's got very, very long reach. But, yeah, it's kind of, if there's a way they're going to win, it's striker versus grappler. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say Aljamain. I'm going to say Aljamain Sterling gets it done. Maybe that's just a little bit of bias because I like Aljamain and I know him. You know what I mean? It's weird. Whenever you get in those situations where you know somebody, if it's two people that are totally impartial, just whatever. Maybe you make the right decision. Maybe you make the wrong decision. But when you know somebody and they're cool, I'm sure Piotr Jan's very, very cool. I just don't know him. I've never sat on a plane with Piotr Jan and shot the shit. I've never sat on a plane with Piotr Jan and fucking discussed our hangovers and fucking what we did last night. I've never, I haven't had Piotr Jan on the podcast. We had Aljamain. Do you know what? So I know Aljamain. Yeah. So I think maybe that's skewing it a little bit, but it's a great fight. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, Aljamain is super athletic, probably one of the most athletic UFC fighters out there. He's so fast. And I mean, look, I like Aljamain a lot. I really do. It just, he's had a few opportunities now where he's lost some big fights. And, you know, Piotr Jan, what's Piotr Jan's record?
Good.
It's good. Yeah, he's the champion.
One. I think he only lost once on the regional scene prior to getting to the UFC. He's bringing up Aljamain's record. Just gives you an idea. Whoa, he's on a five-fight win streak against Sandhagen. That was his biggest win so far. Then he beat Pedro Munhoz. Look how sensational Munhoz looked at the weekend against Jimmy Rivera.
And Jimmy Rivera.
Then he beat Jimmy Rivera. Then he beat Cody Stamann. Again, not an easy fucking win. Cody Stamann's very, very tough. And Brett Johns. Brett Johns is really tough. Of course, he got caught by that left high kick. Or it was a knee, actually, of Marlon Moraes, but he was throwing a kick. And then from there, yeah, five good wins against solid competition. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, look, Piotr looks really good, really powerful. It's funny, it's flipped for me because when it was a really close fight and I couldn't really decide, I would typically favor the grappler over the striker. And in recent years, I feel like that has switched. So when there's a really close fight, I always sort of favor the striker now.
I know what you're saying. I can understand that because these days people are learning to stop takedowns. They're learning to nullify all that stuff, to nullify the submission game and get back to the feet. You know,
the striking's at a higher level these days, like just such a, you know, yeah, everyone definitely boxes really well.
Oh, definitely a higher level. I mean, if you go back to bloody UFC 32, you know what I mean? You see the striking on people. Or certainly in the early days, it was laughable. It was terrible. You know, and there was definitely some good kickboxers, some good karate guys. There were some guys with decent boxing and whatnot. But yeah, the overall level of the striking game has evolved and improved massively. Yeah, Pyoryan 15-1. That one loss years ago back in 2016, not that long ago, on ACB 32, the Battle of the Lions.
Ooh, Battle of the Lions. I love that event.
And that was against Magomed Magomedov.
Was it a lion?
No, it wasn't, but he's a cousin of Askar Askarov that's fighting this weekend. Okay. Do you know what it is?
It's a weird name for an event.
If I'm called Askar, if my last name is Askarov and my parents call me Askar, when I grow up, I'm having a serious conversation with them.
Bispy Bisping.
That's what I mean. It's like, go me Gomez.
Go Gomez.
Go Gomez. Let's go. Anyway, what do you think? I got Aljamain.
I like Aljamain. We've had him on the show. You know, he's an East Coast guy as well, which I have a real affinity towards East Coast guys. So I guess I will pick Aljamain, but I think Pyoryan might have it. I really do. There was one nice little cringy moment in the press conference, if you don't remember, where they were going through the translator and it was just so weird. And I guess Aljamain said something like, he was like, have you ever caught a mouse?
Yeah.
And then Piotr said, I've caught many mouse.
And you'll be next.
Yeah. And then Aljo's like, well, I'm not a mouse. I was like, what was this?
It was terrible. It was terrible. I get it. They were trying to have like some big moments at the press conference. And fair play, they were the only ones.
They were trying.
They were trying. They tried. But one guy doesn't speak fucking English or not very good. And Aljamain, I don't know. Like, something about a mouse, do better. Listen, I hope your performance is better than the performance of the press conference. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
It was so fucking cringy.
Yeah, but I'm not a mouse, bro. Okay, granted. I see.
Why
that
would you bring up the mouse then?
Anyway, but yeah, no. I really thought we were going to see a good, funny press conference. I just think I was looking at it. You know what I mean? Wishful thinking, I think. Anyway, Megan Anderson, Amanda Nunes. What do you think of Megan Anderson's outfit at the press conference?
I didn't notice it. What was she wearing? What was
the
outfit?
A short skirt with like tattoos and then thigh boots on. She looked like she was off to the club for the weekend. I was like, whoa.
I don't want to get her pissed off. I don't want to piss off the female MMA community, but you know.
Be careful. Be careful what you say. I'm just saying she looks good. She was very, she dressed up very nicely.
I think she's hot. We're the opposite. Like fucking, what's his name? Casey Kenny, yeah, fucking get the shit out of your eyes, bro. Megan Anderson, smoke show. She's like 7 feet tall, got those long legs.
On the flip side, Amanda Nunes had a very different style and approach. I thought her outfit looked cool as fuck. You know, did you see what she wearing? That like cool silk shirt, and then it's like the sweatband. I don't know. Amanda Nunes is cool. She's very, very cool. She's very confident, of course, double champ. But whenever you meet her, she's got great energy, as does Megan as well. I've sat down and had breakfast with Megan and her whole team, you know, obviously managed by Paradigm Sports Management. So, yeah, two great girls, but I got to be honest, I don't see a way that Megan can win this fight. Unless and this sounds bad to say this, because of course, you know, she's a good fighter. She's big. She's a true featherweight. She can kick. She can do grappling. She can do jiu-jitsu. She trains with James Krause, who James Krause is an excellent trainer, one of the best minds in the sport apparently these days, and he's churning out a lot of successful fighters. So that's good. That's good for her. But the only way that I see Amanda Nunes beating her is if, because Amanda Nunes just recently became a parent for the first time. You know what I mean? Her partner, I think it's Raquel Pennington, or is it Nina Ansaroff? Sorry.
Ansaroff.
Yeah, Ansaroff. Sounded bad there. But yeah, Nina Ansaroff just gave birth. However they did it, I'm not sure. But the reality is she just became a parent. So maybe that could be a distraction. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way that I see Megan winning this fight. If Amanda Nunes is underestimating Megan Anderson, thought, listen, I'm the double champ. I smoke everybody. I knocked out Holly Holm with a head kick. Look what I did to Chris Cyborg. I've got this in the fucking bag. And she's been running around. She's been changing diapers. She's been walking to the park and doing all that shit as opposed to training. And then on the flip side, Megan Anderson is fucking training Rocky 3 hardcore, going fucking sick bang, right? That's the only way I see her winning this fight.
I couldn't imagine a baby being anything but an extreme motivation for success. And you know this, you know, we both have kids, you know.
You'd be surprised.
People said that to me when I first had my son, or when my chick was pregnant at the time. I remember Ari Shaffir. He was like, dude, he was like, you're going to quit comedy. He's like, I've seen it happen before. You know, people have a kid, then they want to get a day job. They want to make sure that everything's safe. And I guess some people look at it that way. But I doubled down on everything. It was all foot on the gas, pedal to the metal. I knew that I had to succeed. And it's not like, you know, God, please.
Devil's advocate. Amanda Nunes is already incredibly successful. She's a double champ of the world. She's defended the belt quite a number of times in two weight classes. And no doubt sitting on a good little stack of multi-millions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? And she lives in Florida. You know what I mean? No state taxes, and cost of living is much cheaper. And she's a fucking...
The people are very stupid there.
The people are very stupid by all accounts. I don't know. That's what they say. That is the reputation.
But she still, might have just become a Floridian. Her brain might be in the mud.
She is already set. She's made. You know what I mean?
Right.
So therefore, that's what I'm saying. That's where the resting of the laurels can come in, because it is, and it can be a dangerous thing. I don't think she will, but remember, Amanda, and again, by the way, I'm not saying this is what she's going to do. I'm saying this is the only way that I really see Megan Anderson winning this fight. Now, of course, that sounds disrespectful to Megan, and I don't intend it to be. She's a great fighter. She's worked very hard, and she deserves to be in the spot that she's in. Okay, that's just throwing that out there. But I still think that Nunes is going to be, she is a heavy favorite, and rightly so. But the point I was going to make back in the day, Amanda Nunes, she did used to lose some fights. You know, she lost quite a few fights. And the way that would happen is that she would go out there, she would dominate a lot of fights, and then run out of gas, like against Kat Zingano. Classic example. I think in the first round, she fucking almost killed Kat Zingano. But Kat weathered the storm. Nunes got tired. And then I think she got the finish in round two or three. And that was always the thing with Nunes, always such a strong starter. But then, obviously, as she neared the championship era of her career, she figured that out. She made the adjustments. She changed her training regime. I'm just saying, with the baby involved, maybe that took a back step.
Maybe. I mean, she has a couple decisions on her record. Actually, you know, Jermaine Durandamé recently, and then two decisions against Shevchenko, which were high-paced fights, really high-paced fights. So I don't think that the cardio is going to be an issue with her. She seems to be a new-level fighter. And you look at what she did to, I mean, just some of the highlight reels. Watching her highlights, it's fucking brutal. Like, she is really, really incredible. She's one of the best fighters in the world. I don't see any way she's going to lose this fight, you know. We'll see what happens, but I think that she's got a really, really well-rounded skill set that I don't see. There's really not a chink in her armor right now. So,
no, I got Harrington here pointing out in the chat, and there's no need for that. I'm well aware that Felicia Spencer was her last fight and was a decision. I didn't say that her last win was a knockout. I'm just saying, but that's what she's capable of, of course. And Jermaine Durandamé is a sensational kickboxer as well. Very, very good kickboxer who had a surprisingly good showing against Amanda. So you never know. Anything's possible. But if I'm a betting man, I say go out there and put your money on. In fact, let me tell you
about... What are the odds?
Minus 17 million to plus 365,000. Something like that, I would assume. But you know what? I got a parlay on. Oh, no.
You do? You gambled?
No, a buddy of mine put one on. He told me about a bet. He put down $200 on a parlay, and it pays back $56,000.
What's the parlay?
And it was a good fucking parlay, right? For this weekend. And I'm like, put that down for me.
The guy, I want to put it down. What is it? Tell everyone right now.
Well, okay, but I'm just worrying if it's a conflict of, you know, certain sponsors on our show.
What if
Here, yeah, well, whatever. Here is this. Hold on, let me find it. Hold on.
You're not saying, you're not even, you're just saying for $200, fuck it. I'll throw $200.
That's what I said to him. That's exactly what I said. I'm like, dude.
That's why I'm saying it's not a conflict. You're not even, it's not like you're rooting for somebody or saying this person's going to win. It's just stupid to not put this money down.
Yeah. So, Alex, here's the bet. This pays a ridiculous amount of money, $50,000 for $200 down. Alexander Rakic by decision.
Oh, it's very specific.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course it is for that kind of fucking money. Alexander Rakic by decision. Askarov via decision. He's a very good wrestler. Benavidez is fucking tough. That one's tricky because, you know, I love Joby. Islam Makhachev to win. I think he's definitely going to beat Drew Dober. They're talking about him being the next Khabib. In fact, Daniel Cormier was saying that when Khabib and Makhachev used to wrestle at American Kickboxing Academy, AKA, that Makhachev would dominate the wrestling. Nah, I think maybe that's a little bit of DC, just, you know, just stirring the pot or whatever. But still, Makhachev to win. So Rakic by decision, Askarov by decision, Makhachev to win, Piotr Jan, to win, and then Izzy Jan to go over 2.5 rounds.
That's a good bet.
I know.
That's a good bet. That's not crazy.
Fucking great bet. What a parlay
that is. I can see every one of those things happening pretty easily.
I got it wrong. $200 pays $50,000. I said 56. I don't know why. So I put it in. Oh, and here's the tricky one. Nunes to win in the third round.
Oh, well, Bisping, that's the one. That's
the caveat. That is,
yeah, that is the part of it that it's too specific.
But I think worth $200 fucking dollars.
It's definitely worth $200. Honestly, it's worth
decision, Askarov decision, Makhachev to win, Peter Yan to win, Izzy and Yan to go over 2.5 rounds. I do believe that will happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes longer. Nunes to win in the third round. But Nunes to win in the third round, I think Megan will get out of the first. Maybe she gets out the second. If she does, we're fucking going fucking crazy this weekend.
If everything happened and then it's down to the last fight, I mean, you'll not be able to enjoy it.
I said to the guy, and I've been following up there, have you put that bet on for me?
Can you have him put the bet on for me too, please?
We could discuss it off the show. Correct. Yeah. But for $200, I can't. No, he's not my personal booking agent. He's a buddy that said, I'm doing this. I have 17 people from the Believe You Me podcast that want you to put on the same bet. I'll give you the details. Perhaps, you know, figure it out yourself.
Please. Please. I would love that $50,000. That'd be so nice. What would you do? What would you do with the money?
Nothing.
Just free money.
Nothing. Paid in the bank. There you go. Boom.
I just pay off my car.
Yeah.
I literally just pay off my car right there. I'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Car's paid off. Don't got to think about it.
Yeah. No. And that is nice. But still, I didn't realize that those kind of parlays can pay that big because I'm not the biggest gambling aficionado. Fortunately, I've got enough vices in my life, but still $200 paying $50,000. And they're not bad picks either.
That's how they get you though, because it's not going to happen. All of those things are not going to happen.
No, because another buddy of mine keeps calling me on a near daily basis, telling me I lost $10,000 last night. He called me on online poker. He called me up recently, and I was so pissed. Well, I wasn't pissed. I was happy for it, but you know what I mean. Like a little bit of competitive joking. He won $150,000 on online poker, and I didn't believe it. I'm like, fuck off. No way. He's like, yeah, I did, and he showed me. He won $150,000, but then he lost it all over the course of 2 or 3 nights, and then he's lost another, I don't know how much. But still, there you go, gambling. Unless you go to betdsi.com. That shit's great because we got the special offer and stuff like that. Of course. So you'll be good.
Free money. Harrington, what's the most you've ever lost in poker? Harrington's actually pretty good at poker.
Most I've ever lost?
Lost. Yeah. And won. Mm-hmm. Answer both.
I've had a $10,000 night in poker.
Winning?
Yeah, winning.
He doesn't have $10,000 to lose.
No, not right now. I don't know. No, I don't know. I mean, losing, I don't know, probably like $2,000 would be the worst night I ever had out.
Still stings, though.
It's not great. It's pretty rough feeling.
Gambling's one of those things, right? Because I'm not a gambler. Chime in just a second, but like when you go Vegas, you know, when you first start going there, you're like, you know, what were the casinos and stuff? So you start doing a bit of roulette because that's easy, right? Roulette's fucking easy. Just pick some numbers. There you go, boom, 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 boom. And if it comes in 36-1, fucking hell, you get some fat stacks, right? It's either the best night of your life. When you're in the casino, you're like, fuck, I can't lose. Whoa, you're high-fiving, you're fucking shouting people over, the waitress is bringing you drinks, everyone's wooing and cheering, or you're sitting there like the most miserable fucking bastard going, hey, shut up down there, you know, some people at the end of the table having the experience that I just spoke about. You're like, shut the fuck up, would you? Okay, dickhead. People losing money over here.
I like blackjack. When I go to the casino, that's what I play. I'm not a good gambler. When I sit down at the table, here's what, every single time, I'll probably take out $500 and I'll say, I'm going to lose this money. I'm guaranteed to lose this money. And I'm saying, I'm paying $500 for this experience to be with my friends. We're drinking, we're getting free drinks from the bartender. We're having a good time. And also with the tape, what's cool about blackjack is you're all rooting for each other. It's you against the house. So there's this like camaraderie there. If you're with a couple friends, even if you're with some strangers, you know, if you start beating the dealer and you have a couple good hands, everyone's cheering for each other. But that's, I've already made, because the first time I gambled in Vegas, UFC 71, first time I ever went to Vegas, Chuck Liddell versus Rampage Jackson. And I went out and the first night I won like $300. And I was like, this is it. I'm moving to Vegas. I'm going to be a professional gambler. And then by night three, I was broke. I mean, no money on me at all. I was with this chick. I had to borrow money from her. It was so fucking embarrassing. God damn it. And ever since then, I was like, I'm never going into it ever thinking I'm going to win anything again. And then you enjoy yourself. You say, fuck it. I'm just paying for the experience.
Harrington, you were going to say something. I was going to say something, but I'll let you get it in.
I did. It jogged a memory of me at UFC 196. I went out with about $5,000 and on like a Thursday.
Fucking Harrington. Listen to this guy winning $10,000, going out with $5,000 on a Thursday. Who is this person? You have lied to us, Harrington. You have misinformed the believers.
I used to have a real life once upon a time. But yeah, so I remember I went
out with Lewis.
It was a half a $10,000 candy bar, actually.
So go on. You went out with $5,000.
Yeah, I had $5,000 in an envelope. By the time the fights kicked off, I had, I think, $14 left in that thing, but I had a bunch of tickets, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of the winning of my bet slips. And it ended up being like, I had a ton of money on Nate Diaz to beat Conor McGregor that night, had a ton of money on Miesha Tate to beat Holly Holm that night, on and on and on. Ended up leaving that weekend. I damn near doubled my $5,000. So that was, nice. That was one of the coolest runs, like the coolest 24 hour swings I've ever had.
Yeah, I've had a couple of good gambling ones, but I remember my mom came out to Vegas. Sorry, came out to visit me, and I was doing something for the UFC in Vegas. I said, "Mom, you want to come to Vegas with me?" Obviously, she's never been to Las Vegas, so my mom and my sister jump in the car. We drive there. We stay at the Red Rock Casino, beautiful place, one of Lorenzo Fertitta's hotels. And she plays like bingo and stuff, but she's never gambled. So I take her down to roulette and she likes blackjack. Pardon me. So we're playing blackjack and stuff, and you know, it's my mom. You know, she does have a lot of money, and she's not gambling for a lot. And I think at the start, I give her a couple of $100. There you go, mom. You gamble with that. And she's winning some, she's losing some. At the end, we're sitting around, me and my sister, my mom's gambling. She's doing okay. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, I give her the $200, and she had a nice little stack of chips at the end. I'm like, mom, put it all in one hand. And she's like, why? I'm like, well, it's fucking fun, isn't it? You know, when you start with 200, you've got about 200 there. If that comes in, you're going to walk away with 400 or 500. You know what I mean? Come on. It's free money, mom. It's free money. My mom's looking at me like, but Michael, that's a lot of money that there. I'm like, mom, come on. Trust me. It's going to come in. Of course it didn't. She was very upset. She was very upset. She's like, that's the most amount of money I've ever seen in my life, Michael. You're a fucking asshole. I'm like, come on, let's get a drink. Sorry, mom.
Oh, anyway. Man. Good for you. Good for your mom. I kind of want to gamble now. I'm in the mood to gamble as we're talking about it. I live in Jersey now. Gambling's legal. There's casinos all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. In Manchester, same thing. Casinos everywhere, or England, should I say, but not in California unless you go to the tribal lands.
Let's just take a quick second to talk about BetDSI.com. Listen, massive pay-per-view this weekend. Huge fights, three title fights. If you're going to watch when you buy the pay-per-view, you might as well have a little skin in the game. Unfortunately, with BetDSI.com, when you use our code, which is BYM21, you're going to get $123 free for every $100 that you deposit. Deposit 100 and get an extra 123 to play with. That equals 223. Deposit 500, you get 615 free. That equals 1,115 to bet with. You get the idea, Lewis.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, if you've never gambled on fights before, it changes the game. It's already the most exciting sport in the world. Put a little bit of money down. You're going to be on the edge of your seat the entire time. Me and Bisping are throwing some money down this weekend. You guys got to do it. Three title fights. Holy shit, it can't get more exciting. Yes, it can. Throw a little bit of cash down through BetDSI. Once again, that promo code is BYM21. You're going to get a free $123 for every $100 that you deposit. Now, remember that the bonuses do have a rollover requirement, meaning you have to gamble a certain amount of times before you could take the bonus money out, but it makes it that much more fun. Gamble every weekend. Become an addict. That's what I say.
Become like Harrington. Win money, then lose more. And then you try and win it back, and then you go homeless. And then you know, you're doing things to get fed. Maybe want to delete this bit from the ad read, Brian. But still, it is a tremendous offer. And if you have a little bit of money, a little bit of skin in the game, you're going to enjoy it way more. BetDSI.com. Support the show. Support them. Use that code BYM21. And yeah, enjoy the fights. And I hope you all win some money. And of course, with that offer, you're going to get a little extra to play with. All the best and good luck. Okay, where were we? All right, so that leaves us. We've discussed the two other title fights. Israel Adesanya, Jan Blachowicz. We've talked about this a lot. You probably know. Well, I don't know. I'm going to say you know which way we're going to lean, but I don't think we have even said that.
I don't even know which way I'm going to lean, to be honest with you.
I don't know which way I'm going to lean. That's what makes it such a good fight.
It is a great fight. I mean, I think, look, Israel has, he's incredible. He's an incredible athlete. He, you know, obviously, you know, the UFC, they don't invest in people like that for no reason. You know, they are, the reason they put so much hype into Israel is because he's that good. And every time I pick against an Israel, I do this all the time. I was like, no, I'm not going to buy the hype. I'm going to be cool and pick the other guy. I'm wrong every single time. You know, so whereas I definitely want Jan to win without a doubt, by the way, I'm calling, I call them both Jan because it's difficult to say Piotr and it's difficult to say Blachowicz. Yeah, so I call them both Jan.
Jan.
So I'm definitely rooting for Jan. But I think this is going to be a tough, just because look, Israel's such a precision striker. He's in and out. He's so fast. I think Jan's going to have a really tough time getting him to the ground. And I think Israel is just that much higher level than most people striking. I think it's going to be a really tough fight for Jan.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a tough fight for both of them. The reality is this, you don't get to be 20-0, right, in mixed martial arts, fighting the competition that Israel Adesanya has, unless you're special. Right, he's special. It's simple as that, right? When you watch him strike, and if you know the striking game, you see the way he competes, the way he moves, the fluidity, the shot selection, how he sets things up. He's special. He's fantastic. You know, he's a tremendously experienced kickboxer, and he had a lot of success over there. And of course, that's transcended over here, and he's the champion of the world. So it's easy to think Israel's going to win this fight, right? That's why, because he is special. And he's taken over the middleweight division, and he did it with relative ease, and he's taken out a lot of the top contenders. You know, Borchinha was undefeated, Paulo Costa, and he dominated him, and he made it look easy. So it's easy to say, you know, he's going to win this fight. And then if you look at Jan Blachowicz, of course, he's the champion. He's on a 4-fight win streak. Prior to that, he got knocked out against Thiago Santos. Adesanya doesn't have the knockout power that Thiago Santos does, right? I'm just going to say that, right? He has knockout power. Adesanya has knockout power. Thiago Santos has fucking freak knockout power. So there's no shame there. Right? He was on another 4-5 win streak where he beat Nikita Krylov. He's good. He beat Jimmy Manaway. He beat Jared Cannonier. And he beat Devin Clark. So he had four. So other than that one to Thiago Santos, he was on an 8-5 win streak. And then prior to that, he lost to Patrick Cummins by decision. Patrick Cummins is a sensational wrestler. I used to train with Patrick. He was one of my sparring partners. Man can wrestle his fucking head off. And before that was a decision to Alexander Gustafsson, a loss. You know, and Gustafsson was one of the best in the world. And that was 2016, 5 years ago, you know.
Yeah, that's when Gustafsson was on top.
Yeah, that's when he was on top. Yeah, so it's a tough matchup. Stylistically, it's a very interesting matchup. Jan's got to go forward, use forward pressure, and Israel, for the most part, has got to use the maintain separation, like I said before. Obviously, one thing that's an X factor for Jan is that he has the submissions. You know what I mean? And he has the wrestling, and he's a big, strong fucking guy. He is the bigger guy. He is the stronger guy. And I will say he probably hits harder, right? Simple as that. He's known for his Polish power. Knocked out, who did he knock out? Submitted Nikita Krylov, knocked out Rockhold, knocked out Anderson, knocked out Dominic Reyes, that John Jones couldn't do. And he's fast. He's fast. When you think of Jan Blachowicz, you think of a big, lumbering guy. I saw him on the pads this week. Ooh, those hands were like fucking lightning. So anyway, for all those reasons, I still don't know who to pick. I think it's a tremendous fight, and I can see it going both ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm leaning toward Israel, just because everything we talked about, him being undefeated, him, you know, he's got like, you know, lightning in a bottle. Like, he has something there. But I am rooting for Jan Blachowicz. Blachowicz. I can't Vich. Say his Blachowicz. Last name.
Blachowicz. Blah, you whole bitch.
All
right. Blah, whole bitch. You know what I'm saying? That's all you got to say.
Okay, Blachowicz.
He's coming at me and he's talking. Oh, I can't do a New Zealand accent.
I thought you were doing Nick Diaz.
Yeah. Blah, whole bitch. That's not bad, actually. I don't know. Who am I going to pick?
You got to pick one. Well, you want your parlay to win, so fucking pick for your parlay.
What did I say in the parlay? Oh, no, I said the parlay to go over 2.5 rounds.
Oh, that's it.
I do believe it will go over 2.5 rounds. I'll tell you this as well. I believe if Izzy wins, it's by decision. If Jan wins, it's by stoppage. I can't see Jan outskilling him, out-finessing him, for 5 rounds. I don't see that, because when you look at Israel, I mean, look at his ring walks, look at the break dancing, look at all that stuff. That's a guy that's got extreme coordination. You know what I mean? Any man that can dance like that has control of his body. You know what I mean? Jan's kind of like me to a certain degree. He's a big guy. He's fucking, you know, he works hard. He's probably a very well-known tough guy in his neighborhood. Do you know what I mean? But he's not fucking popping fucking out breakdancing and doing all that shit and backflips and all the rest of it. That's a different level of coordination.
We heard Jan's music. You cannot breakdance to draconian Polish folk music. It was horrifying.
Was
I hear it in
Nazi
my nightmares.
Death march, okay?
It really was, dude. I was like, what are we listening to right now? I feel like we should be goose stepping.
Yeah. But if Izzy wins, I say by decision. If Jan wins, I think he catches him. I know Jan's talking about a left high kick. I think 6'4", there's a big head. There's a high kick. I mean, you can still do that. I could do that. So if I could do it, Jan could do it. Even in my pitiful state, I could still do it. So, yeah, I think if Jan wins, it's KO. If Izzy wins, decision.
Do you think he can submit him?
Who?
Jan can submit him because he's a black belt. And I guess Izzy just got his purple belt. So that's a big, big difference there.
It's a big difference. And also, if you look at the circumstances of how Izzy got his purple belt, he was training with some people there. I think it was Andre Galvao. And Galvao gave him a purple belt because he was there for a few weeks training with him. You know, and again, I'm not discrediting his purple belt. Of course, he's a fucking purple belt. I'm a brown belt. Good for him. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's good to get a little bit of rub. You say, I'm a purple belt on the Galvao. Anyway, if you look at what's his face, Jan Blachowicz, he's got a lot of submissions. How many submissions? I'll tell you right now. That's what you're all thinking. How many? You want to know? 9. 9 submissions, 8 knockouts. I don't know who wins.
I want Jan to win. I want Jan. I'm rooting for Jan so fucking hard in this fight.
I'll tell you why. I kind of want Jan to win, Because Izzy's got the middleweight belt. If he loses this fight, he's still the champ. You know what I mean? And I don't know, but when I see Jan and I see what he's been through and I see where he comes from and I see how hard he works and you see the love for his child, and that probably all crosses over to Israel Adesanya. He hasn't got children, but he has love for other people in his life. He has love for his parents.
He does have a child, I believe.
Oh, does he?
I might be wrong about that, but I think he did.
Well, my apologies. Sorry about that. But did you see on the countdown show, he bought his mother a Porsche Cayenne. God bless him. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. I'm a massive fan of Izzy. I'm a massive fan of Jan. The only reason I would say I'm leaning towards Jan a little bit is because if Izzy loses, he's still the middleweight champion. And I'm just looking at it from a human being aspect here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you've had Jan on the show.
You like Jan a lot as a person. So
I like Izzy. I was talking to Izzy, I don't know, a few months ago. I went to do the contender. He was there with one of his guys, Carlos Olberg. He won on the contender, looked fantastic. He's fighting on the undercard. Keep an eye out for Carlos Olberg. He's very, very good. In fact, talking of that, Carlos Olberg is one of Izzy's main sparring partners. And Carlos Olberg is a big motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So that also leads me to say Izzy is used to sparring with these bigger guys, which of course
he is. Yeah. I mean, Izzy's talked about chasing John Jones, the heavyweight. So, you know, I think Izzy has some pretty big aspirations. But... You know, I think that, man, this is a fucking hard fight to pick. It's a really hard fight to pick. Izzy has nothing to lose, though, ultimately, right? He obviously his undefeated record. He never wants to lose that. And it sends him on a very different trajectory, right? So if he loses, he still has a 185-pound title, but he doesn't have that champ status. The John Jones fight is essentially a wash at that point. That won't happen. His, you know, him being realized as the greatest of all time, it could very well, that could squash that. If he loses this fight. So the stakes are very high for Izzy as well, but he's going up. So losing to a guy that's in a higher weight class than you, that's bigger, you know, it's definitely a softer thing. Like Jan's going to fucking be furious. If he just gets the belt, then loses it to a middleweight, that's going to suck.
Of course. So he's probably left no stone unturned in training camp. Listen, there's something to this though. Israel is 20-0, right? So he truly believes right now that he can beat John Jones. He believes he can beat Jan. He believes he can beat everybody. Why? Because he comes over from kickboxing, comes over from boxing. I think he had a 5-1 record there. And that was 20-0 in the UFC. And he's the champion. And he's defended the belt. And he's taken out killers, right? He's never tasted defeat. I talk about it. I was telling Callum before, when I was 15-0, I thought I could beat anybody on the planet. Why? Because you have until that point. You've gone out there in the toughest sport in the fucking world and you've taken on everybody. So why shouldn't you believe they can beat people? And I know, and I'm not just saying this because me and Rockhold are cool now, but, you know, when I said that, conceive, believe, achieve, shut the fuck up, whatever, I was being funny, but there is something to that. You know, having that self-confidence, having that ultimate belief will help you in life. If you believe yourself, if you treat yourself like a champion, you act like a champion, you consider yourself a champion, and you do everything else in life that surrounds that and bolsters that fight, that mindset, that is very, very powerful. And that's what Israel has right now. Jan doesn't have that. He's not undefeated. He came here the long way round. He lost 4 out of 5 at one stage. You know what I mean? Jan knows his limitations because it's been drilled into him. Jan knows that he's human. He knows he can be hurt. Israel, and you could say that ignorance is bliss, or you could say that ignorance is going to be foolhardy for him. You know what I mean? But there's two ways you can look at it. But right now, Israel truly doesn't believe that anybody can compete with him.
I mean, look, I like that train of thought. I like the idea of the, you know, the law of attraction and sort of believing in anything and sort of, you know, manifesting those things in your life.
To do that for ages, my chaps are lips are chapped and I've been dying to put this fucking chapstick on, but I'm like, it's not a good look, but I'm on camera. And like in the old days, when you spoke, it would go to you. I'm like, I just got to do that. I just got to put my lipstick on. Go ahead. Sorry, bud.
No, it's fine. So, but yeah, I mean, look, I think if you really believe, like if you really truly believe that you're going to be the champion of the world or you're going to be the greatest that's ever done this, your mind and body are going to sort of follow suit accordingly. You're going to train like a champion. You're going to train like you're the best in the world. You're going to, it's not like, Bilal Muhammad, he was talking about, you know, you'd ask him a great question where it's like, you know, if it's all in God's plan, why even train? He's like, well, no. It's in God's plan if you train, essentially, is what he said. He was like, if you do everything that you're supposed to do, then it's part of that. So I think that there's really something to that. It's, if you've read like The Secret or any of those self-help books, that's sort of the philosophy behind it. But yeah, there's definitely something to it. And people that believe it really believe it.
Yeah, what Bilal was talking about, if you recall, he said, never leave your camel untied. So basically, you got to help yourself. And I should have known that because I've read The Alchemist. And they talk about that in there. Maktoum, it is written. Have you ever read The Alchemist?
I have not.
Very short book. It's decent. You know, it sends a little message. Very short, though. You could read it in your spare time. Maybe squeezing out a long dump, you could get through it. But yeah, there you go. So who you got?
It doesn't matter, right? I can just pick you on. It's not going to hurt.
Whoever the fuck you want, no one cares. Listen, no one's bothered. No one cares. But for me, maybe I get a little bit of shit because I think Izzy, for a while, we had a few messages. And I'm like, no, there's no fucking hate, man. I was a little slow. Say again.
Did he get back to you after this last time?
I'm not sure. Yeah, no, we were messaging kind of recently. No, but at first I told him, I said, listen, I was a little late to get on the bandwagon. I said, but hey, fair play, man. You proved me wrong. I'm fully on board now. And he was like, all right, fair enough, you know. Because it did seem like that. It did seem like certain fights didn't show up, you know what I mean?
Right.
But when it becomes a habit of people not showing up, well, it's not that they're not showing up, it's that they're intimidated. It's that, because when you're in there, like, and I hate to bring myself up, but people used to watch me on camera and go, oh, he's an easy fight. And then I'd speak to them afterwards and go, fucking hell, we thought you were going to be easy. When you're in there with you, you're a completely different kettle of fish. And the same thing with Izzy. I used to look and think, well, his opponents aren't showing up, so no wonder he's going to win. Well, there's a reason. When fucking 5, 6, 7 opponents and guys like Yoel and guy like Paulo Costa aren't showing up, it's because of what he's doing. It's because of his presence in the octagon. Do you know what I mean? So you can't hate on him for that. You got to give him credit.
John Jones had a similar thing. I remember people were very like frustrated with watching Rampage versus them. They're like, why isn't he throwing more than one or two punches? It's like, because he couldn't. As soon as he tried to throw more than one or two punches, John Jones was kicking him in the fucking head. Mm. And I think that Israel sort of poses those other problems for people where they sort of get in front of him and then they get stuck because he is that talented. So, I was also the very same, you know, very similar thing. And it has nothing to do with Izzy. I sort of said it at the top of the show. I'm always rooting for the underdog. I'm always rooting for the guy that's not supposed to win. And Izzy's just supposed to be, he was supposed to be the guy to win. Each time they've presented him as this very special fighter. And I can connect much more with the Rocky Balboa story than the story about some guy who was just, you know, God's gift to this earth.
I was about to say, I think Izzy's going to win. So I think that's where I put my money. But then, you know, and no disrespect to Kelvin Gastelum, but Kelvin Gastelum almost beat him. You know what I mean? If Kelvin Gastelum can push forward, push the pace, land head kicks and give him a fucking war like that, so can Jan Blachowicz. Jan Blachowicz is a much bigger person.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong guy.
Maybe twice his size.
Twice his size, heavy hands. Fucking, you could hit him with a fucking house brick and the guy's still going to stand there. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great fight. Fuck it. I'll say Jan, because we're going to pick someone and we're going around in circles here. And I'm sure everyone listening on the audio version is like, for fuck's sake, make a pick. But my pick is $50 home. Right, 2.5 rounds, it'll go over. Rackage by decision, Askar by decision, and all that shit. What I said earlier, $50,000, baby boy.
I love it. Yeah, all right. So we're both picking Jan. Harrington, you want to give a pick on these title fights?
Yeah, sure. You want to give all three?
Sure.
All right, I think Aljo quick gets done. You can't bet against Amanda Nunes. And I mean, if nobody here is going to pick Israel Adesanya, I'll take the undefeated guy, I guess.
We're just idiots.
I know. When you put it like that, we sound so... No, you're fine, Harry. You come back on. I wasn't dismissing you. You're right. When you put it like that, we sound so foolish. We sound foolish, and it sounds like we're doing a disservice to Adesanya.
A couple updates on the Adesanya thing. I put it here in the chat. He has a chance to become the first man to become a champ while also undefeated, going for his 10th win in the UFC, 21st win in MMA overall. Also worth noting, this week he said that super fight with John Jones was going to have to wait until December. He said that fans deserve to be there. He wants it in front of a sold-out crowd. Dana White himself said if Izzy gets this win here, he deserves that stadium treatment in America. So do you guys see that being a possibility, possibly a triple champ in December if Jones gets it done and Izzy gets it done here.
Listen, I just picked fucking Jan to beat him in the double champ scenario. Don't fucking sit there and make me have to talk bad about Israel. Could you imagine? Listen, there's weight classes for a reason. There is. That's just the reality. There's weight classes for a reason. And Israel, by all accounts, if what we're led to believe is true, doesn't really get above 195 pounds, 193, right? That's an issue when you're fighting heavyweights. And of course, back in the day with some of the slower heavyweights and the guys that weren't very good and this and that, he could have done that. But, you know, when you got guys like Stipe Miocic, you got guys like Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes, you know what I mean? All these big dudes that hit. It's a different ball game. There's no cruiserweight in UFC. It goes from light heavyweight to heavy. That's a potential 60-pound jump. And a lot of the guys are cutting weight to make heavyweight. So again, I'm not hating on Izzy. I'm not. But I'm just like, it's like, let's see how he does it light heavyweight before we start talking about heavyweight, you know? And I think that's fair enough.
I mean, technically, no, he doesn't have, if he comes in, does he have to be over 205 pounds to fight at heavyweight though?
No. I mean,
so he can come in for a heavyweight fight at 188.
Well, it's not open weight, is it? It's not open weight. So yeah, but I guess if you're open to taking that fight, then yes, you don't have to weigh 205. But right. But he could just drink a gallon of water, and I'm sure he'd be way over 205. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, I want to see how he does against Jan. Right.
Yeah.
If he can come in, if he beasts Jan, like he comes in and fucking, and it's like, holy shit, Izzy is here, dude. He's like legit champ. He beasts Jan. I want to see how he does in some grappling exchanges, you know, then we're going to be able to really see what we can do with John Jones, because you got to understand, dude, John Jones is such a physically gifted athlete, and he's such a good grappler that mixes it up so well with the striking. I don't think Izzy's seen anything like John Jones yet. You know, and I think John Jones might be as good of a, not maybe not as technically as good as a striker as Izzy, but he's goddamn effective for mixed martial arts. John Jones is one of the most creative strikers ever to be in the octagon. And we've been harsh on John Jones, and now it sounds like I'm sucking his dick, but I'll tell you right now, John Jones would be a tough fight for Izzy. I can't imagine him getting it done. He's just got,
Hold on. Are you talking about the consensus greatest of all time, undefeated apart from a bullshit disqualification? Yeah. And it sounds like what we just said, saying, oh, maybe Jan wins and we're going against the undefeated guy. To say that Izzy would do the same to John, it's almost being disrespectful to John. You know what I mean? So the reality is they're all fucking good. They're all good. Jan's good, Izzy's good, John is great. In fact, Izzy's great. Izzy's great. Jan is on his way to being great. You know what I mean? He just won the belt. This will be his first defense. If he can beat Israel Adesanya, that's amazing. You know what I mean? But I guess people will say, oh, it was a guy from a smaller weight class. You know what I mean? There's always those conversations. And then they'll say, well, if John Jones was here, he wouldn't be the champion. You know what I mean? Israel Adesanya is great. Simple as that. He's a legend in the making. In fact, he's done enough to be considered a legend if he was to retire right now. John Jones, same thing. But still, let's see how this fight goes Saturday night before we talk about heavyweight. I do, hot take, I believe we're going to see Izzy on his back. I think Jan gets a takedown because he's going to go forward swinging. The problem is, here's what he's going to do. He's going to close the distance, Jan. And to do that, he's going to punch, go forward, throwing punches, way more technical and better than I'm doing now. And then when you're doing that, then you grab the legs. You grab the legs and you get the takedown, right? Problem is, if he's doing it like that, a little sloppy, then he's going to get sniped off, is he? And then he's going to push off. So it's not as simple as that. You've got to have a clinical approach. You've got to have a tactical approach. You've got to use feints. Right? If I pretend I'm going to throw a right hand, they're going to counter, then you wait for their shot to come back to the head, and then that's when you go in. So it's all techniques, it's timing, it's setting traps. So Jan's going to have to do that, but it's a tough fucking fight for both of them. But I'll be honest, we've talked about this now for about 30 minutes. I don't know. May the best man win. There you go.
All right, real quick, let me do plugs, and then we can quick hit a couple more topics. I know you got to do dinner with the fam, which is very exciting.
Yeah, no. We'll save the topics. We'll do plugs. We'll chat for 5 minutes, and then we'll leave it be. Yeah, we've been going an hour 20 here. We're good.
I love it. All right, real quick, guys. You love the show. Go to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. Subscribe on YouTube as well. Brand new episodes to YouTube, typically Monday and Thursdays at midnight. I know this one came out a few hours later, but typically Mondays and Thursdays at midnight. You can subscribe right there. Hit the notification button. Get a notification every time we go live right to your phone. And if you guys want access to the entire On Demand library, every episode that we've ever done ad-free and uncensored, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use that promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial, and fan questions as well. If you guys want to join the conversation, send us fan art questions, video questions, audio questions, whatever it is, bympod@gmail.com. That's the website, or that's the email address. Send us an email, even if you just want to give us a compliment. We like reading the compliments sometimes as well.
We like a compliment. And in fact, on that note, Brian, do we have any questions? We'll do a couple of questions to finish off, and then we'll leave you all to it. Enjoy your weekend. Of course, big fights, and we are late to the table on this one, so we apologize for that, as Lewis said. But yeah, Brian, what have we got? Anybody chiming in with anything fun?
Yeah, we got this question here from Dallas Singer. Give me one second to pull that up.
No problem, you. Brian. Where are you going to be watching the fights on Saturday?
Me? Not an illegal stream. On Discord.
When I said where, I meant like physically, where will you be?
I'll be home, man. I haven't left my house in a year. We're all
really? Fucking hell, man. What about you, Lewis?
I'm going to be watching it at home. I got a gig on Saturday night early. I'm going to zip home. I'm going to watch it with my son and my girlfriend. That's our new thing. My girlfriend comes over to watch the fights with my kid now. They both love it.
Nice. All right, Dallas Singer, what you got?
Wait, anyone? Dead or alive?
Hey,
what?
Oh. They said they don't want those stupid, boring, fucking generic questions. So think of something else. Okay, shit.
All right. Mike, I saw you on Ariel and the Bad Guy this week. Love the show. Actually loved it better than when Chael's on it. Never mind that. What's going to take for Ariel to do a guest spot on the BYM, on the Believe You Me podcast? Love to see you, Lewis, Harrington, Ariel chop it up. And the question I have is, who is a guest, non-MMA related, you would like to see on the show? Let us know. Love everything you guys do. Fuck that guy with the gun. Peace.
Yeah, love Dallas it. Singer there. And that's how you do a video question.
That is how you do a fucking video question. Creative, different, wielded a weapon. Probably it was illegal. Love it.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. I liked it. Thank you, Dallas, for the question. What was the question? No, I know the last bit. What was the first bit?
When is Ariel going to come on the show?
Oh. Yeah, we'll get Ariel on, I guess. It'll be a laugh. I did speak to him a long time ago about coming on once. He said, yeah, sure. And in fact, didn't we have him on in the early days, Lewis?
I don't think we did.
I think we did.
I don't think we did.
I think we did.
I know we didn't, because I've done one podcast with him ever, and it wasn't this one.
No, I know. Oh, hold on. The radio show.
I don't think we did.
I'm pretty sure we did. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, we can do that. We'll get Ariel on sometimes. I love Ariel. He's awesome. But he will do anything that makes his star bigger. He will do anything that gets him more Twitter followers, has more people talking about him. So maybe once we hit 1 million subscribers, Ariel will come over to us. But until then, you know, we are just lowly, lowly peasants to him. But what was the next question, Lewis?
The next question was, who is a non-MMA guest that you guys would like to get on the show?
Mister,
I mean, you're the fucking born with the celebrity Rolodex. You can just go into your phone right now. You can call fucking Vin Diesel. You can call Mickey Rourke. The guy from the Smashing Pumpkins.
listen, yeah, but they got no relevance on this show. Do you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Vin Diesel doesn't matter. He's fucking relevant at all times. Mickey Rourke would be good to get on because that's how I know Mickey. He's just the biggest fight fan. He is the biggest fight fan. And if you look at his Instagram or if you follow any other UFC fighters, you'll see Mickey commenting, liking. You know, he's just a huge fan. He loves boxing. I mean, what a guy. Walked away from from a very successful acting career to focus on being a boxer. I mean, that fucking takes balls, man, you know, and then obviously came back to acting in the end, but that's how much he loves the sport. And that's how we met. So yeah, maybe we'll get Mickey on one day, but he's, I'm sure he's a busy man with things to do.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's got to be somebody that we have a relationship with. We don't do a traditional interview podcast. It's easy to interview people about fights because it's a fight centric podcast, but it's got to be somebody that, you know, if we were in person, if we were all in LA in a studio, maybe we could do something like that. That'd be perfect.
That's so different. If we're all together in a studio. Yeah. Because I have a lot of people that come to me and some people reach out and say, oh, get such and such on your podcast. And I'm like, it's not like that. Do you know what I mean? We do our thing. We bring a fighter on, we talk about their fight or whatever. If they're big in the fight game, whatever, we'll talk about their fight, what's going on in the fight world, yada, yada, yada. But it's not where we have a guest on for an entire episode. You know, so right. Some people go, oh, can we get this guy on your podcast? He wants to talk about such and such. He's got a book coming out, whatever. I'm like, no, we can't. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you, Dallas Singer, for that one. Brian, we got one more or shall we leave it?
Yeah, this one's a little more long-winded than the other one. And surprisingly, another person also asked this question, so I'm just going to play this video.
Okay.
First of all, lads, love the show. Love you, Brian Harrington. Even though I took the piss out of you so savage, you need to learn how to fucking give it back. I don't understand why you don't give it some back. You get me? But anyway, different stories now, yeah? Bisping, if this was a few hundred years ago, you would be the King of England.
It's true.
So, how does it feel that you haven't been knighted? Because I believe you should be knighted at least for all the suffering you've done, all the heart you've shown, all the dedication you've shown to the game. Just as an idol, as a father, I mean, I look up to you as a person because the way you are with your kids is just absolutely amazing. And your wife. Big up your wife for standing through you.
Leave my wife out of this, Leo.
Yo, you don't find many women like that. Serious talk. You get me? Anyway, that's my question for you. Do you believe he should be knighted? Because I do. So, so solidly, I really do believe he should be knighted. Luis J. Gomez, my question for you. How are you going to beat this fucking weirdo Jason Ellis geezer? Do you reckon you're going to finish him? Do you reckon it's decision? What do you think, fam? And when is it? Is it pay-per-view? Because I believe, you know, you're a big enough star to be pay-per-view. And
please, Leo, don't get him started.
Yeah, you're a lot bigger than him, rolling around with Bisping and all that type of stuff nowadays with an Audi. Yo, keep doing you, fam. Big up you. Some questions coming in the future. Let's go, motherfuckers. Big up Darren Till as well. Next champion. Fuck off.
I like this guy. He's got great energy, but he says too many words. He needs to get to the fucking point.
I like Leo. Leo's fucking great. You leave him alone, okay? I'm sensing a Midlands accent there. I could be wrong, but it's a little bit of Birmingham. Could be wrong, but Leo, thank you very, very much. And I'll be honest, I agree, Leon Lewis. He said so much. I've forgotten what the fuck he started with.
Your question is, yes.
Should I be knighted? No. I shouldn't. Would I like to be? Yes. That'd be awesome. It'd be great. I want it. I want it a lot, but it's not going to happen. And I don't think I deserve it. Cage fighters, scrappers. I don't think the Queen's handing out knighthoods for that. But you're right. Massively underappreciated. You know, I didn't even get a fucking sports personality of the year award, Lewis. You know what I mean? But God damn, it's fine. But thank you for reminding me of my shortcomings in life, Leo. I appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words about my wife. I do appreciate that as well. Well, Lewis, how are you going to beat Jason Ellis?
I think I'm going to knock him out. But I mean, he's got a fucking hard head. He's got a really hard head. He doesn't get knocked out too easy. So I'm planning on going in, just being in better shape and being busier and just staying in his face the whole time. And me and him spoke today. We're looking at July or August. And of course, it's going to be on pay-per-view. The last Ellis Mania was on pay-per-view. Are you fucking kidding me? I'll let you guys know as soon as we have a date for that. But I've been training my fucking ass off, as you guys can see.
Oh, yeah. You look tip top. All right. Well, that's it. There's our show. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll be back on Monday. We'll talk about how terrible our picks are. We'll talk about how annoyed we are if that $50,000 bet comes in and my guy didn't ever put that bet down for me, the mother effer. But still, enjoy your weekends, Lewis.
Thank you, Bisping. Have fun with the family. Tell everyone I said hello. Enjoy your time with Callum. And we'll check you guys on Monday. Peace.